Today on Real Life Radio.
God's design for young people has never changed because your design has never changed. God's word anticipates everything, young people, even the culture that you and I are in.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. Has our culture redefined God to fit its own agenda? Is God more inclusive than he used to be? Or have we simply lost sight of who he truly is? In The Eclipse of God, Pastor Erwin Lutzer confronts how our culture has reshaped God's image, turning him into something more convenient and comfortable, but far from biblical. He sheds light on how this distortion has led to confusion even within the church, and shows how God's truth still shines even in the darkest of times. This November, Pastor Jack Hibbs is featuring The Eclipse of God as our featured resource of the month. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. Now, if you're ready to return to a biblical understanding of God's character, don't miss this book by Dr. Erwin Lutzer. It's called The Eclipse of God. Once again, available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Life and Bible with a message titled Being a Christian While Being a Kid. Now, we're all children of our parents, and as Christians, we're all God's kids. You see, what we experience as a child shapes us who we are as an adult. A lot of us had a childhood that might not have been so great, but still, we have a choice on how the past is going to impact our future. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that no matter how old we are, or maybe what we've experienced, or what we've been through, it must be brought under the control of Jesus Christ. He is above all in authority, and we need to give it all to him. Now, with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Kid, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Well, listen, grab your Bibles tonight and turn to you-know-what, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 tonight, and we are in those verses that we've been going through as a springboard to get into these topics on Wednesday nights. And we're looking at being a Christian while being a kid. And you say, well, Jack, how can you deliver that message tonight? Well, I once was a kid. Lisa will tell you I still am a kid, locked in an adult body. But tonight is a message that I will in some ways fumble through because I am an old guy, but if you're thinking tonight, what does this topic at church have to do with me as we look through this the Life and Bible series, being a kid? Well, guess what? Even though you may be here tonight and maybe you're not of a kid age, or maybe you don't have kids, you might be tempted to think there's nothing in the message for me this evening, but I think you ought to stay tuned and listen. Because much of our childhood upbringing, and those young kids that are in here tonight listening, the things that are forming their lives, the things that have formed our lives, still have a bearing on us today. And so tonight we might do well to pay attention to what the Lord says in the scriptures about young people. Because truly, no matter what your age might be tonight, you can benefit greatly. Maybe tonight God will show us some things, those of us who are older, about how we got to be where we're at tonight, and how tonight with the young people perhaps listening in, that it might be something that could be used for them to steer themselves in the right direction as they follow the Lord, and also maybe overcome some things, and of course also be able to avert some things in life that maybe some of us didn't have the leadership or the example for. Before we get into this message tonight, I want to share something personal. I remember having no gospel Bible upbringing at all in my life. I remember being in school. I remember being in junior high and getting invited to parties and hearing language and seeing things that I knew was not right. I had no moral rudder. There was no rules laid down in my home or at school in some particular manner. I just knew that when I heard those things and saw that stuff, it was wrong. If you were to ask me to define it, I couldn't tell you. I just knew inside that's wrong. And, you know, when I heard, oh, hey, guys, this girl over there, you see that girl? When I heard that, I was appalled. I now know it was the Holy Spirit warning me in life. In high school, I remember, I was an absolute, I don't know what word to use. Not a mess. I was on my way to being a mess. I was a misfit galore because I stuttered so bad, for one thing. The second thing was I really, really loved football. And I'm not that big of a guy. In high school, I weighed about 217, 220. And I wasn't fat. I was pretty healthy. Wasn't big compared to our football team. Huge. Four of them went on to play pro ball. They were giants. But I could hold my own. And because I didn't know Jesus, and because I was angry because people made so much fun of me stuttering, I really had a lot of pent-up aggression, and so I took it out on the football field. It was awesome, and I could really do some damage. In one season, I had hit three guys and busted three of their football helmets on the field. I was very proud of that, and it warranted a look into my life from Long Beach State, so I was very, very proud of that. But I was very, very angry. But I didn't know how to function and in this manner that I knew, had a deep sense of what was right and wrong. And when I was invited to parties because I became captain of the football team and all the stuff that was going on, I was supposed to blend in and be part of the tribe, you know, part of the group. But I didn't like what they were doing. I never did drugs, for the record. I never did any drugs. Drugs scared me, and I was too much in love with taking care of my body, so I didn't do drugs, but all my friends did drugs, so I took care of them at parties. The second thing is, I wasn't big on drinking because I didn't like the sense of being out of control, and besides, when I did get drunk in those years, I went very, very violent, and so I realized I'm not going to go that route. So I wound up being the guy that drove people home. I wound up being the guy cleaning people up. I wound up being the kind of the monitor at the parties. And I remember holding a can of beer. And to blend in, I poured milk into the beer. Not into the beer, but into the beer can, and stood there and deceived people that I was cool. I'm cool like everybody else. And you do things out of desperation to just blend in. But I never really fit in. And I couldn't wait to get out of school for a lot of reasons. But one of them was that I stuttered terribly. And I just didn't feel like that kind of lifestyle. It was all about partying in Orange County. That lifestyle was the one I was to live. I just couldn't do that. And so I want you to know that from early on, I missed my childhood because I had a great childhood. When I was a kid, I had fun as a kid. We jumped off of roofs. We played army. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about. Now you do it video. We really played. We really had guns. We really goofed off. We really had a great time. We would ride our bicycles to the beach. We would go in storm drains and collect goldfish. We could stay out all night, and there was no muggers and robbers and thieves and molesters. It was a great life. And I longed for those days in a way. But then listen, some of you oldies, listen up, some of you younger ones. Would you, older friends of mine, would you live your life over today now in this culture? No way. No way. It was easier to be a kid 150 years ago when I was young. I wouldn't want to be a kid now, yet that breaks my heart because of where the kids are at today. They've got to live a life that's far different than what you and I ever lived. So the truth is, that you and I need to pay close attention no matter what age we might be tonight. Because listen, everything that you and I are experiencing or have experienced must be brought under the control of you and I as believers maturing in Jesus Christ. No matter what we talk about tonight, there is nothing that God cannot overcome. Nothing. Don't come crying to me later. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know my troubles. Oh, my troubles, you don't know. Listen, I've got troubles that I can't even tell you about in my life growing up that I will never speak publicly about. And I'll just say this. God is greater than all of our troubles. No matter what your age might be, the Lord is greater, He is stronger, and He's able to overcome all those things. And so what we experience as kids, keep in mind, shapes the adult that we come into. The great thing is we could either tonight say, oh my goodness, that's why I'm so messed up. I had a horrible upbringing. Maybe. You could have a Cinderella upbringing and be so messed up. You can have an upbringing that was so terrible, but now you are really stellar and walking with God in a powerful way. Or you could have had a tremendous upbringing and you're so far from God, you don't even know who he is right now. See, the point is it doesn't matter unless you decide today to give whatever you've got to Christ. It doesn't matter what excuses we can offer up. Nothing is as powerful or more powerful than God's ability to correct our lives. He loves to change our lives. It's what he does. If he had a hobby, it would be restoring people. That's what he does. So Colossians chapter 1 applies even to the kids. Verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us, verse 13, from the power of darkness and conveyed us, imparted us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And so this is a very important thing. So everybody listen up, specifically the young people tonight. I want to say this as we get into this message tonight. There is a keen reason why everybody is after our youth. America's youth is a target. For that matter, according to the Bible, we know that Satan targets youth all around the world. How do you control the future? By going after the youth. Who says so? People like Karl Marx, Fidel Castro, Adolf Hitler, the Communist Party and movement, the cults, Satan. If you can convert the youth over to an ideology, into a mindset, if you can, I know this would never happen in America, but if you could storm the school campuses of America and teach liberalism as an indoctrination and various religious cults as the truth and revise history and change the meaning of words, sound familiar, everybody? If you can control the young populace, then you control the future. And God help the church in the world today. God help the church in America. God help this church and every church to reach the young people today like never before. Young people, according to George Barna, from the age of 18 to 30 years of age, over 80% of them that leave high school, and enter college and then into the early years of their careers, over 80% of them wind up denouncing Christ and adopting some other form of a spiritual life. That's tragic and should never happen. It's because the church has been asleep at an hour like this. Young people are extremely valuable in the sight of God. Isaiah 49:5 says that it is the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant. Young people today, you need to hear something. In fact, hear it from my lips only because I'm quoting the Bible. But even our government wants you to be enlisted in a young service or servant corps for humanitarian reasons. That's a great thing, by the way, and that's a wonderful thing. But listen, you can do all those things and never be fulfilled and never come to the understanding that it is God who's engineered you and I to be a servant, and specifically a servant of his. You can join the Peace Corps. You can join all these other things. And the truth of the matter is you might be able to build a concrete wall somewhere in the world. That's great. But if the church mobilized with its youth, it could change the world right where we're standing, our campuses and beyond. In fact, I believe that if young kids got hot for Jesus, that they could change their parents. I've seen that happen. I think parents need some kids that are fired up for God. Maybe the parents would follow their kids into the kingdom of God. But let's remember that God appointed many a young people in the Bible to incredible places of influence and power. Many of Israel's kings were appointed by God at a young age. Josiah, among others, were young kings, let us remember that prophets like Jeremiah and Daniel, John the Baptist, and others were called and mightily used by God at a very young age. Young people. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love and spirit, faith and in purity." Young people.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Point number one tonight, mark it down as we go through this. Being a Christian in this world while being a kid. Number one, it's this, what being a kid means. And when it comes to being a kid or a teen, God's design for young people has never changed because your design has never changed. God's word anticipates everything, young people, even the culture that you and I are in. God anticipated the internet. He anticipated text messaging. He anticipated Xbox. He anticipated all that stuff. He knew that. Your design, your creation, your purpose hasn't changed. Huge portions of scripture speak directly to children and teens and young adults. Matthew 19, 14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." That's awesome. Think about it. Young people are so exciting to hang around with. And by the way, the younger they are, the more exciting they are to be around because for one reason, Jesus said it. By the way, he said, unless we become like children, we will not enter the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean we potty in our pants and drool and spit up things and eat bugs. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you and I being as faith-filled as young people are. The part that breaks my heart today in this young culture that we're seeing brought up, we're seeing kids broken. Their dreams have been dashed. Their families are busted. They have seen everything under the sun that most of you who are much older have never seen. Maybe it was morality. Maybe it was your Christian upbringing. You've never seen the things that young Christians have to contend with today by virtue of the fact of what the internet or what text messaging or image sending can bring to them today. It's horrible. It's a terrible time to be a kid. They need a guard and a standard around them like never before. And where are their parents? Where are these guardians of their souls and of their protection and all? So many kids are latchkey children. Well, mom and dad are trying to make ends meet. I don't know what the answer to that is. Maybe we got in too deep. Maybe the house is too big. Too many cars. I don't know. But kids need parents. We talked about that last week. But I thank God that the Lord is desiring to move in the lives of young people. In Job chapter 21, verse 11, Job 21, 11, it says, "They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance." Listen to God's heart on this. "They sing to the tambourine and harp and rejoice to the sound of the flutes." To be a kid again, there is to be a good balance for every kid that's growing up in the church, every kid that has a Christian home, to both work, to play, but mostly play. Kids need that area of being responsible. Kids need to learn how to take out the trash. You young guys and gals, you need to learn how to do that stuff. You gotta be kidding me. Well, how much am I gonna get for this? No, listen. Honestly, look, here's the cool part. I'm not your parent. I can tell you this. Your parents aren't paying me to say this. Here's the fun part. I've gone through all that stuff. And I can tell you now, and I'm gonna see some heads nod in a moment. All the stuff that I thought stunk as a young person, I thought, this should be illegal. I'm very grateful now that I went through those things because it made me a better person in this life that now that I'm older. Discipline. Listen, kids, listen. When was the last time you heard someone tell you, just persevere through it? Persevere. But it hurts. Keep going. I'm tired. Push on. We don't even talk like that to our kids anymore. Why? Well, we might upset them. It's terrible. How did a generation of young people grow up to be those who would manufacture, design, manufacture, and catapult a spaceship into space with a man in it? What generation was it that went to school and persevered and fought through it and did all that stuff to create the internet or to create Microsoft or to create Apple Computer? When those guys, because they loved what they were doing, Steve Jobs and those guys would not stop working because they loved what they did so much, and their parents encouraged them, just keep going then if that's what you'd like to do. And what they liked to do was create Microsoft and Apple Computer. Think about that kind of stuff. Kids need to be instructed and brought to that place of, you know what? Work is good. Commitment is good. Faithfulness to something from the earliest ages will translate into a meaningful life. But what does it mean to be a kid? Sometimes it means work, and most of the time, I hope, it means a lot of fun. It's too bad when children grow up too quick in America. Kids have to get responsible too fast. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 says, in Israel, by the way, and this would be true because it's God's heart anywhere, that the streets of the city shall be filled with boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of his people in those days. That verse in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 speaks about in the last days when Israel is brought back as a nation just before his return, the kids will be playing in the streets. By the way, read Zechariah chapter 8 later. It talks about old Jewish people growing older, sitting in the streets, watching the children play right before the Lord comes in his great coming. A child, a kid, a young person must be allowed to play for realsies in this life. Work, yes, but parents, we need to make sure that our kids are having fun. This world is too serious, it's too heavy. Everything is about economy and money and terrorism and difficulty and all this stuff. But look, when a kid has worked hard at achieving a grade or mowing the lawn or whatever it is, then listen, when you reward them, it tells them something that, you know what, now I can take from my hard work, I can take from the fruit of my labor and go have some fun. I'm going to stop the ice cream truck and get me whatever they sell on the ice cream truck these days. But this is important. What does it mean to be a kid these days? And I know this is going to sound almost sinful, what I'm about to say. It's not having necessarily a day off from school or from work, and you sit there in front of your laptop for 9 hours. And you know, we know you've spent too much time there when your jaw kind of goes like this, and your eyes are glazed over, and you're going, have you guys ever seen yourself when you're doing that? And parents too, have you ever been in front of the computer too long? And you look like you're just like, all the life's been sucked out of you. You actually need to go out and do something. We need to remember that as kids, what it means to be a kid is to be creative, is to be dynamic, it's to be exercising. Number two, what about my family as a kid? The family. The Bible defines what a family is. The Bible defines the family as a father or as a father and mother or as a father or a mother. Could be a broken home or a widowed home where the kids have one parent. It could be a child or children. But it's a family. When a couple comes together and they produce children, officially according to the definition, it's a family. I know that we want to have the idea that, well, you know, it's Lisa and I and a Yorkshire Terrier, that's our family now. That's not our family. That's a dog. But God says this is what a family is. And why is that important? Because a family is where children learn how to become adults. It's how they learn how to be citizens. It's how they learn how to be servants. It's how they learn how to be people. In a family, it's important.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Kid. Thanks for spending part of your day with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a series on how to apply God's Word to the everyday challenges of the Christian life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Everybody, I want to stop right now and just pray a very important prayer for the most important topic, and that is God's creation of the family. God loves the family. In fact, he's invited himself into his family, hasn't he? The Bible says he's adopted us into his family. And so I pray for your family. Listen, make your marriage work. Do everything you can to make sure that your parenting skills are educated and you get help from the Word of God. And there's a lot of great resources out there, but don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your parents. Don't give up on your kids. Listen, don't give up on your wife and don't give up on your husband. Make it work. It's God's will that as much as possible, make it work.
So, Lord, we pray right now that you'd heal our homes by healing our relationships with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today, more and more Christ followers are living out their faith no matter what. And one way we can help is through our website. At jackhibbs.com/realradio, you'll find access to Pastor Jack's devotions, YouTube channel, podcasts, Facebook, live streamed events, and so much more. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. And don't forget to download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer.
Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.